in Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and throughout every one of our tomorrows, dear fellow redeemed. One of the reasons for worshiping on the last day of the old year is to look back upon the past. To look back upon our past year's activities, examine this past year's sins and failures and faithlessness and shortcomings, and rejoice in our Savior's great love. To look back upon this past year and see how our Savior continued to provide and guide us with His hand, forgive us our sins, and shower His abundant riches upon us. This evening we'll be doing what we did in last New Year's Eve worship service. We'll look back upon the past worship services, some of the sermons, sermon texts, and see how God blessed us with His Word and His sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we'll also sing some hymns from each of those seasons of the church year. And so join with me as we journey back through 2014 and see how many of these sermons and services and activities we had that you can remember. We began with Epiphany 2014. Epiphany Sunday, our sermon text was Isaiah chapter 60, where we read, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Our theme and our parts were the guiding light. Part one, notice how the light has shined upon you personally. And two, be active in letting your light shine out to others. That was the encouragement as it began 2014. Be active in letting your light shine out to others. And so now as we end 2014, we need to ask ourselves the question, how active have I been this past year? Have I been letting my light shine through 2014? Have I been using that light, the Word of God, so that my light and my actions and my words shine forth Jesus as Lord and Savior? And if not, why not? And if not, then we need to turn to our light, our Savior Jesus, seeking forgiveness, and ask Him to empower us to do so throughout 2015. During the Epiphany season, we heard sermons based on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. One of the first sermons was Paul's words to the congregation saying, "What kind of people make up a Christian congregation?" We found out that not only was the Christian congregation made up of these kind of people, but so was ours. Not the worldly wise, not the influential, not the mighty, but the foolish, the weak, the lowly, who rely alone upon Christ and who believe that in Christ they have righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Paul wrote, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." In January, we also had our third Salt and Light Evangelism Workshop. Also in January, Eleanor Beatty's mother was removed from this veil of tears and taken home to her Savior in heaven.
In February, Ruth's father, retired Professor William Gergel, also was taken to be with the Savior in heaven. This past year's midweek Lenten series pulpit exchange was entitled Walking with Jesus in Peter's Shoes. We meditated on such thoughts as these. It's all about pride. It's all about complacency. It's all about misunderstanding. It's all about distant discipleship. It's all about the company you keep. It's all about denial. In our Sunday morning Lenten services, we learned of Jesus' names of wondrous love. Names like Jesus, Emmanuel, the truth, the way, Christ crucified, the King. We quote from one of our Lenten sermons on the name Christ crucified. This morning we again look at the cross. This is indeed the greatest story ever told. It speaks of full satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. It speaks, it shouts of full payment for your sins and my sins. The cross, even though it's a cruel instrument of punishment and torture, it is the throne of wondrous love from my Savior, Christ crucified. Down through the ages, since Calvary, that cross has stood as an invitation to sinners, not as a condemnation of sinners, but an invitation. Countless millions of sinners have been invited by Jesus to come. He says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You and I have received that invitation so many, many times in our lifetime that sometimes it doesn't seem so grand anymore. We've heard that Savior, that wondrous Savior, call out to us to come, that sometimes we might have to respond, so what else is new? This Lenten season, it's back to the cross time. It's time to kneel before the cross, confessing our sins, and then rejoicing in our Savior's forgiveness. It's time to marvel again at that wondrous name of love, Christ crucified. And of those wondrous words, Christ crucified for me. Early on Easter Sunday morning, our children reviewed our Savior's names of wondrous love in our sunrise service. And then on Sunday morning, the 10 o'clock worship service, we heard of Jesus, the light. It was a dark night for the women and the disciples. It was a gray dawn when the women went out to see the tomb, to anoint the body of Jesus and give him a proper burial. And then they saw the glorious light of our Savior's resurrection. Read an excerpt from our Easter Sunday sermon. Dawn doesn't last long. It's only that short period between night and light. So also that Easter Sunday. Soon, the glorious sun arose, the Son of God, and his glorious light. In the dawn, Mary came to the tomb and saw it empty. And she ran, and she expressed her fear to Peter and John. Then later in the morning light, she came back. And she said that same fear to the angel at the empty tomb. She said to the angel, "They have taken away my Lord. They do not know where they have laid him." And then it happened. As she was weeping in the tomb, she turned and saw a man behind her. With tear-stained eyes, she did not recognize him. Then he said, "Mary." And suddenly her heart leapt. "Rabboni, teacher," she exclaimed. This was her Lord. She no longer was in darkness. She had seen them lay his dead body into the grave. And now she was there, standing in front of him, seeing him alive with her very own eyes. With amazing suddenness, Her tears were dried. Weight was lifted off of her heart and soul. All past sorrows were gone. Darkness had vanished. Now it was, my Savior lives. And so for us, Easter's glorious light lifts us up above our daily battles and puts a spring into our step. Easter's glorious light brightens our darkest days and keeps the smile of faith on our lips. Easter's glorious light gives a meaning and a purpose to every one of our lives, and a purpose to our service to our Savior, and a service to each other. Easter's glorious light shines down upon every one of our deathbeds, and that light shines into our graves and cannot be extinguished. And long after our graves are forgotten, and the etching upon our gravestones has faded, if the world lasts long enough, this Easter light will still be shining. And there will still be those who follow the Lord Jesus who will see that great light and have the greatest joy in the risen Savior who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. During the 6 weeks Easter season, our sermons are based upon the Apostle Paul's powerful words in the resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. And our theme for those 6 weeks was, hold on to your Easter assurance. We read a portion of 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 40 days after Easter, we celebrated the ascension of our Lord and our King. And we heard our Savior say to us on that ascension evening, look to your heavenly home. 10 days later, we celebrated Pentecost and the confirmation of Caitlin Brandle and Joshua Gerberts. We heard in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's special outpouring upon the disciples, and they spoke in different languages, different tongues. And we asked the question, how can these men do such great things? And the answer was, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we asked Caitlin and Josh, how can you do such great things for God? The same answer. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Our summer Sundays were filled with words from Matthew's Gospel, pointing to Jesus as our all-sufficient Savior. We welcomed our vicar, Ben Libby, who proclaimed the Word of God to us in Bible class and our worship services in August and September before returning to ILC for his second year of seminary training. In one of his sermons based on Matthew 15, he asked us, are you a dog or are you a sheep? Dogs are undeserving. Sheep are lost. Because of Jesus, both are saved. In September, Lord also united Bruce Templeton and Edith Coulthard in holy matrimony. At the end of September, Pastor Norman Greene proclaimed to us in our mission festival, "Today, God calls you to thankfully recognize what He has made you and to seriously consider why He has done this." Based on the words from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." A month later, on Reformation Sunday, we read from Psalm 46, 1-3. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, for the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah." Our theme on that Reformation Sunday was, this is a psalm of holy confidence in a world of sin and turmoil and uncertainty. God's presence in our life is our help. As we approach the end of the church year, we heard from our Savior's words recorded in Matthew, "Be ready for God's harvest day." In the last Sunday of the church year, we heard that Judge Jesus will come. He'll come in glory for final judgment, and Judge Jesus will give the final judgment based upon the evidence of faith-filled works. Our Savior will proclaim to every single one of us believers on that glorious last day of judgment and the resurrection, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But a month later, on Thanksgiving Eve, we gave thanks to God by shouting for joy to the Lord, because He's made us, because we're His people, because He is merciful and faithful forever. That theme is based upon the words of Psalm 100. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." In our midweek pulpit exchange, we prepared for our Savior's coming by beholding our God. Our three themes were behold and tell, behold and marvel, behold and shine. In our Sunday morning Advent services, we heard our Savior give us His Advent call. He called us to be an alert Christian. Beware of indifference. He called us to be a responsible Christian. And He called us to be an expectant Christian. We also heard in our Sunday morning Advent services John the Baptist call out to us to prepare our hearts to repentance. He proclaimed to us that the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, has come. And last week, we heard, in fact a week from this evening, we heard our children, our choir, our narrators, and you members of the congregation proclaim that we are children of the Heavenly Father. Once again, with awe and wonder in our hearts, we heard these words sung to us by the choir: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We heard one of our narrators say, "These words that have come joyfully pouring out of the mouths of our children are the words that are active in their hearts. They proclaim what they believe, that Jesus Christ came into the world to make us children of God. The youthful faith of our children is not beyond us. The same Spirit that created faith in the hearts of our children created faith in our hearts through the simple proclamation of the gospel. And now that gospel is ours to share, just like the shepherds did." We then continued our joy-filled celebration on Christmas morning, hearing from John in his first epistle, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." And the theme was, "He became a child to make us children of God." We said in part in that Christmas morning sermon, there's that word again that we heard in our midweek Advent services, "Behold." It means to pay attention to carefully examine, to contemplate, more than just look or see. And so we're called upon to contemplate, to carefully examine that love that we did nothing to earn, nothing to deserve. It's a love that God gave to us as a gift. That's what God's agape love is. It's a love that God chose to give to us. Not a love that we chose or merited. Do you want a simple childlike faith? Then behold and look no further than the manger. For in that manger was a simple little child who came for the one purpose to make you and me and everyone in this world a child of God. Jesus came for you, and he came for me. Jesus came to make us children of God. We cannot be called children of God. We cannot even be children of God without Christ. Because we came into this world as enemies of God, children of Satan. And so Christ came into this world to become what he was not, a condemned sinner, so that we could be what we were not, children of God. Jesus knew what he was doing. Nothing was hidden from him. He knew exactly what would happen to him. He knew he'd be rejected by his own, by the whole world, even by his heavenly Father. He knew he'd be treated badly, arrested, tried, convicted, beaten, and finally crucified. He knew he would die and be condemned and damned upon the cross. That baby in the manger was not ignorant. He saw the world. He saw how it really was. And he saw what we really needed. And he came out of love for us. What an amazing year of God's blessings from his word. Week after week, month after month, the past year, 2014, God bless us with his word and with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. With repentant hearts, we approached the altar, received the good news of sins forgiven through his Son, our Savior's shed blood, and the assurance of everlasting life in heaven. We were given that powerful word to give us the courage and the confidence to live for Jesus, to glorify his name, and to spread that gospel and all that we say and all that we do. Throughout this past year, and prayerfully we'll continue to do so throughout 2015 and beyond. until our Heavenly Father sends His Son to take each of us to our heavenly home. We conclude this evening with a reading of Hymn 110, verses 1, 2, 4, and 6. Across the sky, the shades of night, this New Year's Eve are fleeting. We deck thine altar, Lord, with light in solemn worship meeting. And as the year's last hours go by, we raise to thee our earnest cry, once more thy love entreating. Before the cross subdued we bow, to thee our prayers addressing, recounting all thy mercies now, and all our sins confessing, beseeching thee this coming year to keep us in thy faith and fear, and crown us with thy blessing. We gather up in this brief hour the memory of thy mercies, thy wondrous goodness, love, and power, our grateful song rehearses. For thou hast been our strength and stay in many a dark and dreary day of sorrow and reverses. Then, O great God, in years to come, whatever may betide us, right onward through our journey home, be thou at hand to guide us, nor leave us till at close of life, safe from all perils, toil, and strife. Heaven shall enfold and hide us. Amen.